We've heard a lot about robots making some traditional jobs obsolete, disrupting industries from trucking to manufacturing. A new report by the global consulting firm Bain & Company says automation could displace 2.5 million workers per year, or more than three times the rate between 1970 and 1990, when computers revolutionized the global economy. Just as with past technological shifts, new jobs will replace the ones that go away, but will those jobs be as good or pay as well? We're going to ask Andrew McAfee. He's co-director of the MIT Initiative on the Digital Economy and co-author of the book Machine Platform Crowd. Professor McAfee, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
So Bain & Company says automation could displace 2.5 million workers a year. Do you think that number's accurate? And how big a shift are we really talking about?
Yeah, there are two things to keep in mind. First of all, it is really hard to predict the path that automation is going to take. So I don't place a lot of weight in longer-term forecasts because previous generations of those forecasts have not been very accurate. The other thing to keep in mind is that 2.5 million sounds like a really big number. There are about 1.5 million layoffs every month in the American economy. We have a very big workforce. There are millions and millions of people working. So we can absorb 1.5 million layoffs a month and still have net job growth. So that raw number is not too huge for me. But I do believe there is going to be another wave of automation and displacement in the labor force.
Of course, this isn't the first wave of automation displacement. There have been major shifts in the economy in the past. Of course, the Industrial Revolution of the 1800s, the Agricultural Revolution in the 1900s, the advent of the Information Age. And some people have called the coming wave of automation the fourth industrial age. Are we prepared for this? And how long will it take the economy to adjust, in your view?
I don't think we're very well prepared for it. Like you point out, there have been previous big waves of technology. Electrification was a big deal. Actually, container shipping was a big deal, put a lot of longshoremen out of work. We were able to reabsorb those people who got displaced by technology and generally put them back into the workforce at a higher level of wage and income, in part because we made some pretty big choices as a society. So, for example, about 100 years ago, we decided on mandatory high school education for everybody. And that was a controversial choice at the time, turns out to have been a really good one. My big frustration is not about the pace of technology. It's about the fact that we're not even seriously considering the kinds of adjustments that might be smart in the face of a whole lot of technology hitting the economy.
We focus a lot on the numbers lost due to automation, but you say we should also focus on the jobs that replace them and whether those jobs can really support a reasonable standard of living, a middle-class standard of living. Talk about that.
Yeah, let's keep in mind that the American labor force, even with a lot of technology hitting it, has been adding net jobs month by month for, I believe, more than 7 years straight. So we are adding jobs to the economy. We don't have a job quantity problem. We kind of have a job quality problem because instead of generating those good old-fashioned American middle-class jobs, it feels to me like the engine of job creation has downshifted and is now kind of creating lower middle-class, more precarious, less well-paid jobs. Now, that is a challenge. It's a challenge I'd rather have than, oh my heavens, all the jobs are going away. Mm. And we can deal with that challenge if we get the economic environment right and if we do some pretty basic things. Again, follow the Econ 101 playbook. The other thing that I would add is to increase the earned income tax credit, which is essentially a negative income tax. If you're out there trying to earn a living, you know, play by the rules, but the market is not paying you a high enough wage, we have ways to top up your income. We can use the tax system instead of taking money away to add money to your bank account. Let's expand that.
Which sectors will see the most jobs lost to automation? Which will see the least? You know, who's going to be most affected by this?
My rule of thumb for looking around at where jobs are going to be confronted by a lot of automation is if you're doing the same thing over and over in a pretty regular environment, even if that thing that you're doing is pretty complex and pretty subtle. So for me, that's everything from a cashier in a retail store who's kind of doing the same thing over and over again to a radiologist who's a very, very well-trained, highly educated person. A lot of their job is very, very subtle pattern recognition. The technologies are reaching superhuman performance in all kinds of pattern recognition now.
I think some workers are feeling like the speed of change is just too much, that someone hit triple fast forward here. Is there any way to control how fast this job displacement and change occurs?
Yeah, it's a great question. And my simple answer to that is no. Right. Tech progress and innovation are both really, really decentralized activities. So trying to think that you're smarter than innovation or you know which ones to accept and which ones to try to stop is a deeply dangerous game and one that I don't want us to play. What I want to do is try to rethink the benefits packages, the safety nets, the environment around this amazing tech progress so that we don't have a lot of people feeling overwhelmed and feeling left behind.
Are big companies like Apple and Amazon, who are doing some automation, are they doing enough to collaborate, you know, with both the private sector and the public sector to try to address some of the issues you're raising here?
I think so. The leaders I talk to in the tech sector and in Silicon Valley are aware that the middle class is getting hollowed out in America, that a lot of people feel like they're getting a raw deal, and there's a lot of stagnation going on. And so when I have those discussions, I hear a lot of enthusiasm for participating in solutions. However, I do not think it's the job of companies in a market-based economy to employ people they don't need. That's just kind of asking them to take one for the team in a way that I don't think is going to work out very well.
You say it's not the private sector's role to, you know, create jobs they don't need, but don't they have a role in stepping up to help ease the transition of people they are displacing, both morally and ethically?
I think they do have a job to advocate for the right policy. You know, business is one element of a society. The workforce is another element. Government is another element. Education. All these institutions have to respond to this change that we're living through. I believe we need all hands on deck to participate in solutions. The business community is absolutely part of it.
It's Andrew McAfee. He's co-director of the MIT Initiative on the Digital Economy and co-author of the new book, Machine Platform Crowd. Andrew, thanks for coming in.
Eric, thanks for having me here.